Good morning. Today's scripture reading is taken from Timothy 16, verses 1 to 15. Paul traveled on to Derbe and Lystra, where a Christian named Timothy lived. His mother, who was also a Christian, was Jewish, but his father was a Greek. All the believers in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Paul wanted to take Timothy along with him, so he circumcised him. He did so because all the Jews who lived in those places knew that Timothy's father was Greek. As they went through the towns, they delivered to the believers the rules decided upon by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, and they told them to obey those rules. So the churches were made stronger in the faith and grew in numbers every day. They traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit did not let them preach the message in the province of Asia. When they reached the border of Mysia, they tried to go into the province of Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they traveled right on through Mysia and went to Troas. That night, Paul had a vision in which he saw a Macedonian standing and begging him, "Come over to the Macedonia and help us." As soon as Paul had this vision, we got ready to leave for Macedonia, because we decided that God called us to preach the good news to the people there. We left by ship from Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where Jews gathered for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who gathered there. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of her house had been baptized, she invited us, "Come and stay in my house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." And she persuaded us to go. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And I'm going to invite my daughter to come on up right now as well, because we are going to do a mission report, share what happened in Thailand. Acts 16 reminded me of our trip to Thailand. I was for real. So I'm going to use this laser pointer. It's going to be a little bit hard for you to see, but hopefully some of you can see it. There's that red. All right, so when we landed in Bangkok right there, and that's where we met with Serena, who came and shared about her ministry back in August or July. Anyways, that was awesome. And then from Bangkok, we flew from there all the way to Royet over here. And Royet is where the base is for the Covenant Church in Thailand. And so when we got there, we thought that we were going to stay there for a little while, and then turns out we weren't, but we just didn't understand it or something. I'm not sure. Anyways, we went from Royet, and then we visited a village, but I honestly have no idea where it was. It was an hour away, so it's... No, those were the other villages, the very first day, Saturday. So Saturday we got there, it was supposed to be just a relaxed day where we were trying to reset our clocks, and the pastor there said, "I'm sorry, you were supposed to have a relaxed day, but we have work to do. Let's go to a village. Are you ready to preach?" So with almost no warning, I went and preached a message on that Saturday morning when I arrived, and it was awesome. But so somewhere an hour away from Royet, we preached in one of the small villages. And after Royet, we went down to the Sasaket area. And from the Sasaket area, we went to the small villages along the Cambodian border for the next 4 days. And it was awesome. We were 40 kilometers from where there was active fighting, because there is a war going on right now between Cambodia and Thailand. I didn't tell my wife until afterwards, but we felt very safe. We never felt like there was a problem, but we were very close to where it could have gone bad quickly, and we would have had to get out of there. But the pastor asked us if we were okay with it, and he said, "If you don't feel safe, then we don't have to go there." But we said, "Let's go." And so then from the Cambodian border villages, from there we went to Khon Kaen, and we drove. That was a 6-hour drive, and we spent Easter? Were we on Easter? No. We were Easter Saturday. We did an Easter service. Well, anyways, we're in Khon Kaen, but then we did actually an Easter service around Udon Thani, which is closer to the Laos border. So we were all over in this area. And then after that, we went back to Khon Kaen, and we flew from Khon Kaen over to Chiang Mai. And Chiang Mai is where we spent the last couple of days, where the majority of our missionaries live and that we support. And so in Chiang Mai, we also went on a little trip that was really close to the Myanmar border. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But that's just kind of an overview of where we were. We were all over Thailand, and it was amazing. Oh, I'm trying to press forward on this, but this is only a pointer. There we go. All right. Thank you, Daniel. You got it. So diving into a little bit more, the first stop was Bangkok, as I mentioned. And so this is us with Serena. And so Serena works with Campus Crusade for Christ in Thailand, and she has 3 different schools that she goes to visit. And so we went to one of them. I don't honestly remember what it was called. Do you? It was a university. And so it was awesome. She brought us to the university, and we did a prayer walk around the campus. And it was, how hot? So hot. So when we landed, I think it was about like 98 degrees Fahrenheit, and in the middle of the night. And so then the next day was over 100 degrees while we were walking around the campus. I thought she was going to take us like into some nice air conditioning spots, because there were some, but she did not. We only walked around outside in the heat, in the sun. But it was really good to pray with her, hear her heart. And some of you might remember she came here and said she was going to do 9 months in Thailand. But she extended that to 12 months. And she specifically asked for prayer for discernment as far as what's next. And I think if it was up to her and money wasn't an issue, I wouldn't be surprised if she wanted to stay there. But she also does miss home a little bit. As many of you know, she grew up here in Halifax and was part of our combined youth group for many years. But while we were there, one of the most touching things that happened is she lined up A. Claire, who is a Thai local going to school at the university there. And she just came and hung out with us. And it started out real light, and she was laughing, we were laughing. And then we started asking her, and she started sharing about her life story and how she came to know Jesus. And it was actually really hard to hear, because she talked about how when she decided to follow Jesus, that she's the only one in her family. And her family is Buddhist, as most of the families are in Thailand. And when she decided to follow Jesus, pretty much all of her friends and family decided that they didn't want to talk to her anymore. And so she talked about how lonely it was to follow Jesus. And so she was very thankful that Serena was there, that she felt like she had a friend. And I think she really appreciated that we got to come and spend a little bit of time with her. But the reality is, I mean, we were only there for a few hours. And she has to live most of her life with those broken relationships. And she hopes that she can share the love of Jesus with them. But the reality is a lot of them will never listen. And so I think that was an eye-opening experience, at least for me, that helped kind of set the tone for the rest of the trip, thinking about how, like, there's a real cost to following Jesus in Thailand. It's not like here, where following Jesus is easy. And you can call yourself a Christian and not even actually do anything. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You could just call yourself a Christian, and no one's going to give you a hard time about it. But if you call yourself a Christian there, you're going to be persecuted. And so, A. Claire, you can pray for her as well. Then after that, like I said, we went to Royette, and immediately I got into preaching. I thought that I was going to go to Thailand and not preach as much, even though it was Holy Week here, and if I had been here, I would have done Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, and I thought, I'll probably preach less in Thailand than I would have if I stayed here. It's got to be a break. Nope, wrong. So I actually preached 6 times in Thailand, and so I preached at Saturday churches. One of the really cool things about the Thailand Covenant Church is they are a church planting movement. That is how their church survives, by planting other churches. And so we got to go into church plants that generally met on Saturdays, because the churches that supported the church plants, that's the times that they could go and help out. So there was churches every Saturday and churches every Sunday. And so I preached on Saturday, then I preached on Sunday morning, then I preached on Sunday evening, and had lots of opportunities to share the Word of God. And it was a lot of fun. So here's a few of the churches that we got to go to. Well, 5 of them, I believe. And just the church that's in the picture on the top right, that's the last church that we got to preach in. And that I got to preach in. And it was so hot. Talia says it's so hot. Why aren't you standing up there? You can make your commentary. So it was so hot. It was so hot. So all the village churches had no air conditioning. And so people wouldn't go inside the church. They would be outside, because that's actually where it was cooler. And so the last church we went to, the top right one, it was about 102 degrees while I was preaching. And that one was the only one that I started to get a little lightheaded.
There was no breeze inside.
Zero breeze. It was so bad. And so I got a little lightheaded on that one, and I chugged some water, and then I was okay. Let's keep going. But what I really loved about that church is it was planted by some of our team's churches, and it was planted by a former prisoner. So they have a prison ministry where they go into the Thai prisons and they share the gospel and they do discipleship. They go in weekly, and then some of them who decide to follow Jesus, they say, well, I want to be a pastor. And so this Thai man who had been a prisoner, he trained to be a pastor while he was still in prison. And when he got out of prison, then this church did everything they could do to support him. They gave him a place to live. And they helped him start a job, and he sold fried chicken on the street so that he could make a living. Because every single pastor, with the exception of one that we met, does not get paid to be a pastor in Thailand. They have to earn money other ways. And so this man who had been a prisoner came out, started selling chicken on the street, so that way he could be a pastor. And so he started this church in a village. And there was like 30 people there. And in Thai church standards, that's a big church. A lot of churches are like 15 to 20 people. When we would tell them what size our church was, they would say, oh, you have a very big church. And I said, praise the Lord. But so it's amazing to see that God is really working there. And so also... Pastor CM, who is the leader of the Thai Covenant Church, he made sure that anytime anybody mentioned any sort of illness, that he would say, Pastor Adam, come over here and pray for these people. And so I had plenty of opportunities to pray for people. And there was always an interpreter there. Although they didn't always interpret my prayers.
You don't interpret prayers. It's just for the Lord.
There we go. Sometimes that was true. But it was a lot of fun. And it was amazing to see how God worked. We did have one half of a day where we had some fun. But first, we had to go visit the Buddhist temple. And so over on the left, that's Tally and I almost dying from heat stroke. It was like 102 degrees when we had to climb and walk, I don't know, like a half of a mile to this Buddhist temple. And they said, there's no air con inside. It will be very hot. There's 7 floors. How many floors do you want to go up? And I said, 1. But Tally kept going up, and I was like, why are you going up?
Yeah.
But I think we went up 3 or 4.
We went 3, and it was like smaller. It got smaller.
Yeah, every time you went up, it got smaller and smaller.
And I was following this person. They had their baby, and then they were like dedicating it or something.
Yeah, and it was very, very interesting to see, because most of the people there are Buddhist, and there are so many Buddhist temples there, like hundreds.
Three per village.
And so this was the biggest Buddhist temple that we saw, And so it's seven stories, and the top story is made of all real gold. We didn't go up that high. They asked if we wanted to, but I definitely didn't, because it got hotter every time you went up. But it was really interesting that it was very empty. There was not a lot of people there at the for how big the temple was. And they said that that's true for a lot of the temples, that they believe that they make these temples as like as an earthly representation of heaven, and they think that that's good enough to get them into heaven. And so people give money to build these temples, and that's like their ticket to get into heaven. And it's just so sad that they don't realize that they can have a relationship with God. It's not just about paying in your dues, but here on earth we can have a relationship, and when we get to heaven, it's going to be so much better than their idea of what heaven might be. And it just showed that there was a real need there. And then after the Buddhist temple, then
we went to like some tower or something, and then we went on like a zip line.
Tally went on a zip line. It was about 35 stories up, and I think she really only did it because
I had a friend and she wanted to do it, so then we did it.
Yeah, Talia made a good friend with a Thai local. And so they did it, even though, are you afraid of heights, Talia?
Very.
And I was super proud of her, because that's part of what going on a mission trip is about, is you face your fears, and you step out of your comfort zone, and you see what God will do. And so I think God really used even that zip line, because then you and Hosanna were friends for the whole trip, and even beyond. And so then we, after that day, we went into schools. So the majority of the rest of our week was getting into schools along the Cambodian border. And these were places that they said no Christian had ever gone. And so it was amazing, very eye-opening. And I was really surprised at how open the people were. The kids were excited. I mean, you saw the videos. I mean, they weren't like, oh, who are these people? What are they doing? They were just happy to have anybody come and love on them. And of course, you probably also saw that we brought some gifts with us, and that helped. But so this is outside of one of the schools, and those kids were pretty well behaved. I was pretty impressed by that. But so this was the first school that we were at, and while we were there, some of the things that we did.
I told Bible stories, and then we did like dances and stuff, and like we prayed with the kids.
Yeah, and the pastor told these schools going in, we are a Christian organization, and we want to share about our faith. And they said, yes, please come, which is something that wouldn't happen here in America. And so it was amazing that they have this wide open ministry that, like, if people would just go, the gospel could flourish there. And so this is Talia helping leading some songs, and she did a great job.
And it was so hot, I was like dying.
It was very hot. And it wasn't just us that was saying that, the locals were also saying that all the time as well. I think that's probably the number one phrase that we heard. It's so hot.
It's too hot, it's so hot.
But it was a real blessing. We got to give out Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child boxes. And that was something I didn't expect, but apparently that's something that happens all year long. So the Covenant Church in Thailand receives hundreds, thousands of these boxes, and then their job is to go distribute them to the villages throughout the year. I just kind of assumed it was always just around Christmas, but it makes sense to me that, oh, just logistically, yeah, I guess that has to happen all throughout the year. And so it was really cool. I thought it was really cool anyway. Because these boxes that the Samaritan's Purse shoe boxes came in, they said where they had been packaged, and some of the boxes said Baltimore. And so Talia and the Christian school, Northern Dolphin Christian School, actually packed a bunch of boxes in Baltimore. And so it's possible that Talia might have even helped pack some of those, although there's a lot of boxes that go through Baltimore. But it's possible. But it was really cool to see kind of both ends of handing out those boxes. And really, it was great to hear, like, the joy that they had. And I thought it was just, like, for the village kids, but even Talia's friend, Hosanna, said that she received those boxes when she was a kid, and she always looked forward to it. And so, praise the Lord, it's a real ministry. We also got to do some village ministry. So this is just at somebody's house, right outside their house. They're hoping to plant a church at this house. But this is me actually sharing the gospel, how you can follow Jesus with a bunch of the village kids. And you can see they're very interested. And it was amazing how hungry they were for the gospel. So this is us meeting with Poor and Lim. And they're in that left picture. And that was their home that we were meeting in their parking garage, basically. And so we are praying with them, praying that God would allow them to start a church. And so they said, go back to your church and ask them to pray for us. Pray that God would allow our church to start and that God would provide the resources so that we can, their specific prayer is that they could close in that side part where we are praying and they could enclose it with bricks and put an air conditioning unit in it. And praise the Lord, I bet just that alone would get people to come in because it's so hot and they would come in and just be like, I want to come cool down. And we saw that when we were in Konkan. It was like 102 that day, and it was so hot, our local team said, let's just go to the shopping mall. At least there's air conditioning there. And we went in, and there was like, it was super packed just because it had air conditioning. But it was super fun. We also did have some culinary adventures while we were there. How was the food, Talia?
Really, really, really good.
Was it spicy?
Yeah.
It was very spicy. We also tried some interesting things. What's that on the left, Talia?
It's like ant salad, so it has ants and ant eggs and some other random stuff.
Yeah, I watched while the lady was making the ant salad, and the ants were trying to crawl out of the thing as she was making it, and basically the ants drowned in the juices of the salad as they were making it. Surprisingly, quite delicious, I would say. And because I was the pastor, what happened?
It was pretty nice for me. Like, I would sit with a table of other people, other girls, and then we would have, like, one plate for all of us. But then he would have to get his own plate, even though everyone else would share a plate. He had all his own food.
Because I was the special guest, the pastor, they gave me extra. Which lots of times was good, but I had a whole plate of this ant egg salad, and I did my best, but I only ate like half of it. But it was surprisingly good. We also ate a lot of chicken feet, and those are fun. Actually, the best chicken feet I've ever had. We've eaten chicken feet in the past, and sometimes they're hard to eat. They were very good there. But it is different, so you gotta like get yourself in the right mindset. We also ate durian, if you know what that is. If you don't, praise the Lord for that. But this is a picture of somebody's home. So we also were blessed to get into a couple of people's homes. And so this lady here, she was not a Christian, as pretty much nobody in the village were. And she invited us to come and share a meal. And so this is us sitting down and eating a meal. We sit on the floor, and this is where they sleep. This is basically where they sleep. It's open air, so that way it's not as hot. And yet we had to climb a ladder to go into the house because they're like, I don't know, 6 feet off the ground, something like that. But it was awesome. So she invited us in, and the pastor, the covenant pastor said, Adam, you should share your testimony with this woman. And so I did. I shared my testimony. And it was pretty cool. The lady started crying after I shared my testimony, and I think that it really touched her. Whether it was exactly why, we don't really know. But then Pastor Siam then shared about how there's a scripture in the Buddhist scriptures that talk about how there will come another one who will take away people's sins. And how that person will have marks on his hands, his feet, and his head. And so he talked about how that points to our God and points to Jesus. And I had no idea that that's in the scriptures. I went home and I looked it up, and it sure enough is there. Amazing. God put that there so that the Buddhist people can know about Jesus. And so I don't know if this woman decided to follow Jesus or where she's at in her journey, but she definitely adopted Talia. And she loved Talia. And I think really because of that invitation that she invited us to come over to eat, and we ate a lot, and it was actually amazing. It was so good. But because of that and because of the testimony, she invited like everybody in the village to come, and we had a village outreach where we were the first Christian group ever to share the gospel publicly and in this village. And so you can see on that bottom right picture, and there were a lot of people that just showed up to hear about our God. And so we did a worship night, and there I am on the top right, and I shared the gospel again with the group there. And it was amazing. And this could be the beginning of the church in a village. And honestly, I don't know what's going to happen. I had no idea what their responses were because I don't speak Thai, but there's my interpreter up there next to me. But at the very least, afterwards, they invited me to dance with them. Fine job. But I had no idea what I was doing. That was legit. So that was the majority of our time in Thailand as we were in the villages, and it was really cool to see God work. But we also got to just build relationships with the team, and that was, I'd say, one of the biggest unexpected blessings that I felt. Lots of times when I've gone on mission trips, it's like these Americans, these outsiders, they're coming to do something for us. And that's not all bad. Sometimes people go in and build a church or put on vacation Bible school, whatever. But I didn't feel like we were in charge of this thing at all, because we weren't. And the Thai locals, they did everything. And really, it was just kind of a privilege where they invited us to be part of it. And so it was really cool. I'll let Talia share a little bit about some of the friends that she made.
So the one on the all the way left, that's my friend. Her name is Hosanna. She's 17. Her dad is actually a pastor, and her mom's a preschool teacher like mine. Yeah.
Yeah, and they struck up such a good friendship that Hosanna even let her drive a motorcycle. How'd that go?
Pretty good. I think I did good.
I am uncertain. the girl Hosanna was from the city of Chiang Mai, and so she had actually flown in to go do these village outreaches with us. And so when we went to Chiang Mai, then they said, oh, let's get together. And so I got to meet the dad, the pastor, Pastor Jimmy, and they took us to a night market, and Tali and Hosanna even got their ears pierced together. Whoa, beautiful. And it was really cool to see how God creates those relationships. Also, while we were in Chiang Mai, got to see the Dows, and so got to visit Cornerstone Counseling. That is an amazing place. Like a lot of the places we visited in Thailand were, I'd say, equivalent to third world country. I can say a lot more about that, but Cornerstone is not. Cornerstone was like the nicest counseling center I've ever been to in my life. It was a high class, and if you don't know, Cornerstone really serves missionaries and their families. And so when missionaries face troubles or their children are struggling, then all throughout Asia, they'll send them to this Cornerstone Counseling Center, and they just care for them, and they counsel them, and pray for their healing. And so that was super fun. Min works there, and Jen, his wife that we've been praying for a long time, she works with Home of the Swallow, and the idea for that is caring for single mothers and also especially helping pregnant single mothers that might otherwise want to get an abortion. And so they care for them, talk to them, counsel them. However, one of their biggest prayer requests Jen gave is that they are running out of funding. And it's not like something that we as our church could even step up and help out with. They're like short by hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so they're talking about closing the Home of the Swallow ministry in August. And so she said, pray for a miracle that God might provide funds to continue this. But she says that she also prays that they can trust God, that even if it does close, that the ministry will continue just in a different way. So pray especially for Jen and Home of the Swallow ministry. And we also spend most of our time with Choice. And I don't know if Tali, you want to talk anything about that?
I really like spending time with them. The little girl, we hung out a lot. We did art. We played outside and just like hung out. Oh.
Yeah, and we also got to do one fun activity. We went bamboo rafting. And look who's driving. They let Talia steer us. How'd it go?
I fell in.
That is true. But it was a lot of fun. We saw elephants. We saw a lot of elephants. I think like four groups of elephants. And so that was our one blessing day that we just got to go have fun with the Choice. Both the Choice and the Dows especially said that they felt very blessed by us coming, and they say thank you for your support as a church. And so the Dows are looking forward to coming and visit. The Choice were supposed to come this summer, but they're pushing their plans back till 2027. So they said, oh, we could probably work it out so that the Dows and the Choice, one or the other, comes to the Valleys every single summer and shares about ministry. So I'm hoping that that might happen. But really appreciate this church supporting that trip, supporting those missionaries, and I hope that this is not our last trip to Thailand. And certainly Tali and I would love to go back. I think Tali would like to go back all summer next summer. But we also hope that some of you might be willing to go. And I'll be real honest, the village was difficult. And so
Not for us.
Okay, Tali says not for us. So I don't know if we would go back to the villages with a church team, but certainly Bangkok and Chiang Mai would be super easy for folks in our church to go to. It's really their culture that people stay in hotels, and hotels are very cheap. I think that we splurged on our hotels, and they were like $30 a day. But you can get hotels that are like $10 a day in Thailand that are pretty good. Actually, I think the one that we stayed in down in the corner in Sisaket, I think those were probably like $10 hotels.
Because they had no other ones.
Because there were no other ones. That's true. But the point is, it's very affordable, and the food is great. And really, we only got some of those ant egg salad things in the villages. But I could totally see people from our church going to go visit, especially our missionaries in Chiang Mai. And they would love to get more visitors. It's an encouragement to them, and it helps us too to open up our hearts and minds to what God is doing throughout the world. So with that, just once again, thank you, or as they say in Thailand, Kap Khun Kap. That is all we have for our report. It went a little bit longer than I thought, but if you have any more questions, come talk to us, and we'll be happy to share. I'll let you go sit down now.